Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are some stories of the Bible that we know very well as people of faith. I would argue that the story of creation is most definitely one of them. Whether or not you've grown up in the church or not, you can probably put together the general storyline: God creating the heavens and the earth, God hanging the stars and the planets in the sky, separating night from day, God creating the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, God creating the animals and humans, and on the seventh day, resting. You could probably even add the detail about how these humans, Adam and Eve, were set in a beautiful garden, a garden where everything was perfect until. That's where we find ourselves today in our reading from Genesis on this Rally Sunday, on this beginning of the programmatic year as a church, but also the beginning of our narrative lectionary, our careful and thoughtful movement from Genesis to Revelation to hear God's story of salvation unfold and how it is that Jesus is the one to restore all of creation. We revisit the conversation between the serpent and the woman and that one fruit, all of the others were there for the consuming, but that one fruit. And the promise of the serpent to the woman that one fruit contained all that they needed to know about good and evil. Just a taste might reveal that they could be like God. Well, the woman does, in fact, take a piece of that fruit, and what is revealed is all good and evil, including suffering and pain and death itself. Likely, in our telling of the creation story, we maybe leave that detail out, or we get so caught up in pointing a finger at Eve, or perhaps interrogating Adam, that we forget that in the end, they both eat the fruit. They both suffer the consequences. Sin enters the world, and the only remedy for that sin is the one who takes away the sin of the world. And in the meantime, we discover that the first consequence of sin is shame, of exposure, of guilt, and of hiding from God. This reading for today reminds us of our connection to this story in a powerful way. How it is that we too can find ourselves in suffering. In fact, in times of shame. When I was thinking about a title for this sermon, I was thinking, oh, the shame was a good title. But then I thought, you know, what would be more eye-catching and perhaps attention-grabbing would be a title like Naked and Afraid. Have you seen this show on the Discovery Channel? It's about, kind of takes that show Survivor to the next level, sending people out into the wilderness buck naked and fending for their lives. It's a little different than Survivor in that it's not teams against each other voting one another off the island. No, it is just one naked woman and one naked man, and they're sent off to try to make it on their own with whatever they can find for resources in the wilderness. Sounds a lot like the reading from Genesis today, doesn't it? This is where we find Adam and Eve, naked and afraid, hiding themselves, hoping that perhaps they won't be found out, exposed in their nakedness. You and I know what it is like to be exposed, maybe not naked in the wilderness, but exposed at times when we feel that, uh-oh, who stole the cookie from the cookie jar? We feel caught, trapped. We feel found out. Maybe for something we have done, or maybe for something we have left undone. Today is my son's 14th birthday, and as it is, when our kids grow older, we start to reminisce about the early years. Wasn't it just yesterday he was that little baby that I'd carry around in the carrier from store to store or put in the car seat? Makes me think of a story that happened when Eric was a baby, We went to the grocery store and we were shopping and his older sister was with us. She was, of course, about 3 years old at this time. We were shopping, and as you know, it's really quite a feat to shop with two little ones. Looking at lots of young parents here in the congregation, this is tough, folks. It is. It's exhausting just to go to the grocery store. So I'm trying to keep track of my toddler, and I've got one eye on the baby, and I'm trying to look at my list, and finally we get all the groceries. We get up to check out. My toddler's helping me put things on the conveyor belt, and we go through. I pay. We get out to the car. We unload everything in the car. I take my toddler and strap her in. I take baby Eric off of the cart to put him into the car when there it is. A brick of cheddar cheese. We didn't pay for it. It never ended up on the conveyor belt. Oh, I'm exhausted by this point. What do I do? Well, it would mean taking Eric back out of the car, putting him on the shopping cart, getting Sila out of the car, unstrapping her, getting her back in the cart, getting my purse and everything in the store. I just went home. I didn't have the energy to go back in. I'll go tomorrow, I thought. Well, I went home and unpacked those groceries, and tomorrow came and I didn't go back, and oh, that cheese just ate at me. So finally I told my kids' dad, I'm going back and I'm going to confess about the cheese, and you may have to break me out of prison. But with courage, I went into the store with the brick of cheese and I confessed my sin to the store manager, and I served 4 years' time in prison. No, not really. Of course not. You know what happened? The manager was so kind and compassionate, filled with empathy, a young parent himself. He absolved me of my sin. He said that I didn't even have to pay if I didn't want to. It actually happens all the time. People never come back in and tell them about it. But I paid for it. It needed to be made right again. When we carry around guilt and shame, it has a tendency to eat away at us or to fill us with a sense of unworthiness, or that guilt just weighs on us. This is a connection to that first sin, to that first experience of our parents, Adam and Eve. Martin Luther would say this is us being stuck in our sinful self. In fact, he says it with these words: our nature, by the corruption of the first sin, being so deeply curved in on itself that it not only bends the best gifts of God toward itself and enjoys them, as is plain in works righteous and hypocrites, or rather even uses God himself in order to attain these gifts, but it also fails to realize that it so wickedly, curvedly, and viciously seeks all things, even God, for its own sake. In other words, Martin Luther is saying we are so turned in on ourselves that we get caught up in our shame, in our guilt, in such a way that we cannot seem to free ourselves and release ourselves. It's not hard for us to know this experience. It's not hard for us to feel it. In fact, have you seen this picture? We'll see it as we get closer to Christmas again. A suggestion for Christmas cards these days. How families are so turned in on themselves, turned in on our devices, literally curved in, so that we tend to ignore that which is outside of us. I don't think that Steve Jobs had a connection to the creation story when he chose this logo, but isn't it interesting that which has us so curved in is oftentimes associated with this brand? Well, I don't want this to be a sermon about the evils of electronics, but it is about one of many things that draw us away from God or have us so turned into ourselves that we cannot be about what God has created us to be. Brené Brown, who is an author and a researcher at the University of Houston, has done extensive research on things like vulnerability, empathy, and shame. She says that there is a distinct difference between shame and guilt. Shame is self-focused. Guilt is an outward problem. Shame is that we say we are bad. Guilt says I have done something bad. Guilt drives us to confession. Shame keeps us stuck inward. Listen to Brené Brown's take on this shame and guilt and what the remedy of it is in this video clip.
The thing to understand about shame is it's not guilt. Shame is a focus on self. Guilt is a focus on behavior. Shame is, I am bad. Guilt is, I did something bad. How many of you, if you did something that was hurtful to me, would be willing to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake? How many of you would be willing to say that? Guilt. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Shame. I'm sorry, I am a mistake. There is a huge difference between shame and guilt. And here's what you need to know. Shame is highly, highly correlated with addiction, depression, violence, aggression, bullying, suicide, eating disorders. And here's what you even need to know more. Guilt, inversely correlated with those things. The ability to hold something we've done or failed to do up against who we want to be is incredibly adaptive. It's uncomfortable, but it's adaptive. If you put shame in a petri dish, it needs three things to grow exponentially: secrecy, silence, and judgment. If you put the same amount of shame in a petri dish and douse it with empathy, it can't survive. The two most powerful words when we're in struggle, me too. And so I'll leave you with this thought. If we're going to find our way back to each other, vulnerability is going to be that path.
Vulnerability, the opportunity for us to recognize our sinful self and the guilt that draws us inward but also draws us to confession, is a pathway to God restoring creation, a pathway for God to enter into that shame and guilt and free us again, free us to be what God has created us to be from that beginning. At the end of our reading today, there are a couple more verses that follow. It is the conversation that continues between God and Adam. Those verses sound like this. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" I believe these are two questions that get to the heart of who God is and what God desires for us, to draw us into relationship again. God continues to ask you the question today, where are you? God will not relent from seeking after you, finding you wherever you are at, even in shame and guilt, and offering you grace and peace and new life. And God will not relent from also asking the question, who told you? Who told you are anything less than what I have created you to be? God first and foremost wants to know that we were created in his image, that we are indeed his beloved children, named and claimed. We are whole in him. Nothing else, no other voices have the power to take away that identity. You are a child of God. You are redeemed by Christ your Savior. We have this God who is relentless in his pursuit of us, who wants us to know our identity. There is a thin veil between heaven and earth. God does not want us to hide.